Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, April 6, 2014, B'dikas Chametz.
Can I go? This one here. Okay. I'll begin. Okay. First of all, this year is dedicated to Lezecher Nishmas, David Aryeh ben Yosef HaKohen, and Yaakov Shmuel ben Moshe David Aryeh Shlomo, and Zev Aryeh ben Yaakov Shmuel Solomon. So the neshama should have an aliyah, discuss the Divrei Torah. Okay, so we're already in Chodesh Nisan, obviously, and looking with anticipation towards the holiday of Chag HaMatzos. And the first thing that we focus on, what we've been focusing on probably for the last couple of days, I'm guessing, is the mitzvah b'dikas chametz. The truth is that the din of Shloshim Yom lefnei HaChag, Shalom v'dorshim b'inyano shel Chag, has particularly, that's a topic in its own right, maybe for another year, but has a special meaning when it comes to getting ready for Pesach. And particularly when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, there's a special din of Shloshim Yom, which is reflected in the halachos, the substance of the halachos of Pesach. If a person leaves his home before 30 days, his obligations in terms of B'dika, there are really two elements. When does he leave his home prior to Pesach, and whether or not he's going to be returning during Pesach. So in addition to the regular din of Shloshim Yom, the chalos, let's say Shloshim Yom lefnei Pesach, has particular significance when it comes to bedikas chametz. The focus now, as I say, very much in our lives is about getting our homes, ready, and symbolically getting ourselves ready for Chag HaMatzos. Masechet Psachim, as is well known, begins really with the concept of bedikas chametz. The first mishnah on the base of Aleph Orlar Basar. Which means the night before Tezvav, the night of 14th, Bodkin es hachametz l'or haner. We do bedikas chametz l'or haner. Kol makom shein machrisim bo chametz ein tzorach bedika. Any place which generally is not a place in which chametz is to be found does not require a bedika. And then the Mishnah goes on and discusses machokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, what those places were, etc. And that itself is very fascinating because once we have a principle of makom shein machnisin, it's strange that there should be a machlokes, what constitutes makom shein machnisin. But if you look at the entire structure of the beginning of the Masechta, it really focuses on this din of bedikas chametz, and we find numerous such issues where there seems to be a debate or a very expansive requirement of bedikas chametz to make sure that there is no chametz in our domain. And the question that arises, of course, is why this emphasis? After all, if you read a little bit into the first parak, it becomes perfectly clear that mostly, at least, B'dikas Chametz is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's a mitzvah which is rabbinic in nature. The Gemara says, Habodek, Gemara says in the first parak, Tzarech Levatel, that if a person is doing B'dikas Chametz, he's also obligated to do Bitol Chametz. Now, that's a topic in its own right. What is Bitol Chametz? There's a debate in the Rishonim. According to most Rishonim, let's say Rashi, the Rambam, most Rishonim, Bitul means that he intellectually rejects Chametz. The Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo. He separates himself from Chametz. The Baalei Tosfos think that Bitul is a reference to Hefker of some sort. Again, that's a topic in its own right. But the Gemara basically says that Habodek, a person who does B'dikas Chametz, is also obligated to do bitul, and the Gemara makes it perfectly clear that bitul mostly absolves you from the prohibition daraisa, ba'ira, and ba'imatze. So the question is, if there's bitul chametz anyway, even though you're doing bidika, and bitul chametz takes care of ba'ira, ba'imatze, so what is the purpose of the bidika? And that's already the question that Tosis asks right in the beginning of the Masechta. Rashi, commenting on the requirement of bedikas chametz, says, "Bodkin shelo yavar alav b'bayir b'ayimatze." We do bedikas chametz in order to ensure that you won't violate the twin obligations of bayir and b'ayimatze. And the Baalei Tosfos immediately asks, they quote Tosfos, this is the top Tosfos, the first Tosfos in the Masechta, "Pirush akuntu shelo yavar alav b'bayir b'ayimatze, b'kasha l'ri." Kivan the tzarech bitul kedamar b'gemara. The Gemara says vamid base. The one I just quoted, habodek tzarech sheyivatel umidaraisa the bitul bialma sagi. And bitul alone seemingly suffices on a daraisa level. So ma yitzrichu chachamim b'dikata? Why did the chachamim require a b'dikas chamet? That's the first question that Tosas asks in Masechet Pesachim. But just to accentuate the question a little more, it's not just, you know, the question, what is the purpose of this? There's so much effort expended in b'dikas chametz. Again, you know, people who clean for Pesach know this, right? That it isn't just the 10 pieces of bread, you know, that we put out. I was asked to make reference to it. We'll try to get back to it a little bit later. But again, we're not going to zero mostly in on that today, but we will make reference to it. It's all the cleaning that goes on beforehand. And it's not just what we happen to do. The whole beginning of Masechet Pesachim is really about B'dikas Chametz. I say, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are arguing about the Hagdara, the definition of Mokom Shemachnisim Bo Chametz. It's clearly not a machlokas in what we call metzias. It's not a practical machlokas whether people do or don't bring chametz in. What is all this fuss about bedikas chametz? And the Gemara, you know, page after page in the whole beginning of the Masechta begins with bedikas chametz. And the question is not only what function does it serve given the daraisa of bitol neutralizing bayor bayimatze, but even once we've explained that function, which we'll get back to in just a second. Right? Does that justify the, you know, degree of detail and the chomer hadavar, if you will, that's involved in bedikas chametz? That's really what we're asking. Now, of course, it's a simple answer to part of my implicit question: is this the place for Masechet Pesachim to begin? So the Baalei Tosfos in different masechtas point out that, you know, sometimes Masechta begins chronologically. Tosfos in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos asks why it is that Shabbos begins with Malachas Hotzah, which it does. And Tosa says, you know, we do find Masechtas that begin, you know, chronologically, like Masechet Pesachim, which begins with Bedikas Chametz, because that's the first thing that you do. Already, I said, there's already a din of Shloshim Yom, even when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. So the reason that the Masechta began Bedikas Chametz, one could argue, is for a very pragmatic, chronological, you know, reason. Perhaps. But not everybody thinks that chronology is the issue, and especially when it's a question of, let's say, you know, setting the tone conceptually versus, you know, chronology, you can at least debate the point. What I'm trying to suggest is there some way to explain, you know, two anomalies in one fell swoop? Number one, why do we need Bedikas Chametz? Why is it given so much attention? Why are we so, as we'll see in a moment, machmir in Bedikas Chametz? And number two, is this really the right place to begin Masechet Pesachim? Is there something about Bedikas Chametz which highlights a bigger issue, even if it technically is only Drabban? The Baalei Tosfos themselves, responding to the question of what do we need Bedikas Chametz for, provide two answers, which are quite different from each other. B'nir l'ri, da'av l'gab d'sagi b'bitol b'alma, echmiru chachamim libdo chametz ulvaro, shelo yavo l'ochlo. The first answer of Tosfos is that bedikas chametz is a kind of a siag to achilas chametz. Eating chametz on Pesach is a very severe offense, right? It's a capital crime, the chiyuv kares, and as a result, b'drabanan, they surrounded it with all sorts of other chumras, including an iser mashihu. There are dinim daraisa, other dinim daraisa, which again underscore its unique chomer. And consequently, we want to fortify that iser. One of the fortifications is through bedikas chametz. The idea of a siag daraisa is not such a common thing, but we do have it here and there. Some people think chatzishir is a siag daraisa. Bedikas chametz being the motivation for Bal Yireh works with that kind of a scheme. And then Tosfos adds a little more information. V'chein mashma l'kamon v'atam shechmiru kan tvei mibishari suriana. Tosfos is still bothered. There are other things that are asur, you know, with a key of kares. You don't have a bedika for them. But Tosfos adds that even though this is true, shlo tzricho levarim mishum dechametz muta kalashana v'lo nesa rak v'pesach v'lo bedile minei k'da'ama l'kamon. Maybe the reason that we're more machmir and we instituted Bdikas Chametz as a kind of siag for achila is dafka because of the kula of chametz, not because of its chomer. Meaning, because since all year round it's permissible to eat chametz, so people maybe won't take it as seriously as they should. So to overcompensate, we built in chomras to accentuate A, how chomer it is, B, just practically, to make sure that people, because of their misunderstanding, don't treat it lightly, and are going to be compliant with this obligation. So that's the first perspective of Tosis. But then Tosis has a second answer, Inami, Shaini Chamet, Shechmira Botora, Lavra Bavayura Baimatse, Echmiru Chachamim, Livdo Kulavaro, Afilo Hecha de Bitlo, Mishum Dilma Asa Lemichla. Tosis says a second answer, the reason for Bedikas Chametz is not because Chametz could be perceived as being more kal, but because Chametz objectively is more chamor. And what in what sense is it more chamor? It's reflected by the prohibition of Vayirah Bayimatze. We rarely find that you're not allowed to contain an object, right, Macholos Asuros, in your possession, not to eat it, maybe not allowed to be nene from it. But the idea that it can't even be present in your precinct, that is something which is pretty unheard of, right? The fact that that is the case in Chametz reflects a certain added chomer, and that added chomer is reinforced not only as a siag, apparently according to the second view, by the fact that there's also an obligation to search and destroy the Chametz, bedikas Chametz. V'nir l'Rashba, just one more second, and then the Rashbi Shantz adds, this is very important. This is a different topic, but there's a debate between the Rishonim whether Taroves Chametz, Chametz which is in a mixture, not Be'en, or Chametz Nuksha, is there a violation of Bayira, Bayimatze or not? So the Bali Tosa say, even if it's true, that which is their view, that Tarovas Chametz has no prohibition of Bayirah, so you might think that since we just said, according to the second explanation, that Bedikas Chametz is a reinforcement of the what is reflected by Bayirah Bayimatze, so there should be no Bedikas Chametz when it comes to Tarovas Chametz or Chametz Nuksha. But you should know that's wrong. The fact that there is Bayirah in Chametz means that it's sensible that there be Bedikas Chametz. And if there's Bedikas Chametz, that will apply even where there's no Bayirah. Now, Bayirah signifies the Chomer HaIsur, but Bedikas Chametz will be applied even to Chametzes that don't have Bayirah, because it's still part of the genre of Chametz, which is an Isur Chomer. So according to the second view of Tosis, the requirement of Bedikas Chametz highlights the Chomer HaIsur of Bayirah, and it's not merely a siag for something else. It is a reflection that Chametz is unique and different. Yeah, good question.
I was just wondering, with the Inami, does Tosis revert back to Rashi's view? Because Rashi was the one that said that
Bayirah? No, because Rashi seemed to be saying that Bedikas Chametz solves the problem of Bayirah directly. I mean, if you do Bedikas Chametz, you would violate Bayirah. Bali Tosis didn't like that because they said either way you need to do Bitul, and Bitul solves Bayirah. So even in the Inami of Tosis, they're not suggesting that Bedikas Chametz neutralizes Bayirah. What they're saying is, the fact that Chametz is subject to Bayirah indicates that it has a special status. And once it has a special status, that's reflected also in Bedika, and that's why the next line is so important. And even where there's technically no Bayirah in a certain kind of Chametz, there'll still be Bedika, because it isn't a direct correlation, it's a reflection of its Chomer HaYisur. That's really actually works in perfectly. Yeah.
So if I understand the concept here of Bedika, if you say there's no Bedika is needed also for Taravas Chametz, it means you know that you don't have
Bayirah. Right. So what it's saying is the fact that there's Bayirah in the world. Right. What he's saying is the fact that there's Bayirah in the world of Chametz sets Chametz apart as a kind of Chepsa Shaliser. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit more. So even if technically there are certain types of chametz where there is no bayirah, the fact that it belongs to the world of chametz still means it's a different. It's not chelev, it's not dam, it's not nosar, it's pigul. It's something unique called the iser chametz, and therefore that will apply.
Chametz ban, you may have.
No, so it'll certainly bedika will certainly apply to chametz ban, He's saying it'll apply even to Tarovas Chametz, where technically there's no Bayirah, there's still an Isra Achila, of course, because it's still Chametz. Bedikas Chametz is not a din in Bayirah. It's signified by the application generally of Bayirah, but it's a din of Chametz, and that's really the idea that I want to express. Now, so this idea that Bedikas Chametz is the beginning of the Masechta, it's an unusual requirement, it's connected to the Chomer HaIsur of Chametz, etc. That's what we've already just picked up. May explain also why it is that we're very machmir in the Dinei Bedikas Chametz and why we begin the Masechta with Bedikas Chametz. But I'd like to, in order to highlight what is unique about Bedikas Chametz and the role that it plays, I'd like to jump to the Mishnah and the Sugya and Daf Tes Omid Aleph for a moment and speak about one specific issue in Bedikas Chametz, the question of, again, how far we are machmir when it comes to this obligation. So in order to highlight the direction that we're taking. Okay. So the Mishnah on Daf Tes Omid Aleph in Psachim speaks about situations where you have a safek in Bedikas Chametz. That's what I want to zero in right now. You're not sure whether or not you did Bedikas Chametz, or the Bedikas Chametz that you did was thorough, exhaustive, proper, or not. Okay, you're not sure. Now, the background of all of this is that, you know, the Torah is a very comprehensive system, as we know, and it has rules about doubt and certainty. Right? There are all sorts of what we call klale hakra, rules of determining when there is doubt. There's something called rov, azlina basa rov, majority rules. Right? Then there's something called sneka d'araisa l'chomer, usually sneka d'rabbana l'kula. If you have a doubt about a biblical obligation or prohibition, we're usually machmir, stringent. Most people think that that's a din d'araisa. Possibly the Rambam thinks that sneka d'araisa l'chomer is only d'rabbanan. At least that's what he says. There are some exceptions to what he says also, but most people think that sneka d'araisa l'chomer is a din d'araisa. Sneka d'rabbanan l'kula, when you have a suffix about a rabbinic obligation or prohibition, normally we go l'kula, we're lenient, right? There's something called svek sveka. Svek sveka means you have a double suffix. Well, it's not always a double suffix, but meaning in order for you to be in trouble, in order to violate, two things have to happen. And we're not sure if either of those happen. That's called a double suffix, svek sveka. And normally, again, the rule is that svek sveka is l'kula. So, if we're talking about the obligation of Bedikas Chametz, and there's some doubt that comes up, it's not as if we're operating in a vacuum, right? We have much to call upon in the larger halachic world, right? Because we have all these klal. So with that in mind, let's look at the Mishnah very quickly at some points in the Gemara. This is the Mishnah on Tesamid Aleph and Psachim, and the Gemara goes through the Mishnah on Yud Amid Beis. We're not going to obviously do all of this because we have a very tight deadline today. Ein choshin shema gira chulda mibayis lebayis mimakom lemakom dimkein mechatzer lechatzer meir leir ein ledavar sof. And the Mishnah says, listen, let's say you did a very fine, thorough job of Bedikas Chametz, okay? And then maybe, you know, you're having nightmares, you're serious about your Bedikas Chametz. Maybe some little furry animal, you know, drag some chametz into your home, right? Or into the place of work, or whatever it is. You did a great job, but it's not like you had, you know, sentries standing there, looking for mice or whatever these creatures are, these chametz, troublemakers. Should we worry about this or not? In which case, you have to keep doing bedika, you have to keep checking the house and cleaning it again and again and again. I mean, right? So the Mishnah says, don't worry about that, right? The imkein mechatzel lechatzel means, because there's no end to it. Ein ledavar sof. Now that's a strange line in the Mishnah anyway. We encounter this in other places. It reminds us mostly of the Mishnah in the beginning of Yuma, discussion in the beginning of Yuma about a Kohen Gadol, you know, and having, he has to be married, so he has to, you know, he has to have a contingency, you know, plan in case something happens. How many contingencies does he need? There's a point beyond which, you know, being careful, you know, becomes, psychologically and halachically, you know, improper. And ein ledavar sof. But basically what the Mishnah seems to be saying, if you just take a kashuto, is that if not for the ein ledavar sof, this would be something which should concern us. meaning there's no end to bedikas chametz, except that you're going to reach a point where it's just not, you know, practicable, and the Torah doesn't want you, chacham don't want you to be involved in that situation. So the Gemara zeroes in on this. Tamid de lo chazina de shakal. That's if you didn't see anything. But hachazina de shakal, if you see an animal, a little, you know, furry creature walking around with chametz in its mouth, right, then maybe chashina nuboy bedika. Should you really have to redo your bedikas chametz? V'amai, name achaltia. Maybe the animal also ate it and didn't leave it somewhere on the precinct. Milotznan, didn't we learn? And then, again, without going into too much detail, the Gemara starts quoting Mishnayos and Brises and from other parts of Shas, Tuma and Tahara and other Isurim, non-chametz issues. Basically, the Gemara says that Haimai, Lishlam Ahasam, Emar Hava, Emar Lohava, Im Titzalomar Hava, Emar Akaltia, Avalhacha, Vadai Chazin and Deshakal, you saw this animal with the thing in its mouth, Mi Emar Dakaltia, right, Hava Safek, Uvadai, Vein Safek, Motzibide Vadai. The Gemara says we have a rule. And that is, if you have a certainty and then a doubt, right, this animal's in your home with, you just did a bedikas chametz, but the animal came into your home with chametz in his mouth. So that's a vadai. We're not sure, maybe he ate every single scrap of it. Animals are apt to do that, right? But that should be ein sub. What's that? Some animals? Okay. I certainly am not going to take you on this.
With the behemoth high enough.
Okay, yeah, okay, good. Ein safek motzi midei vadai, so you should be concerned here. Right? So the Gemara goes back and forth. Again, we don't have the luxury of going through all the details, but the Gemara here on Tess, and Tess and Aleph, Tess and Beis, basically is testing all sorts of, from the Mishnah to the Gemara, is testing all sorts of issues of safek, and mostly seems to be aligning them with rules that we know about. Ein safek motzi midei vadai. At one point the Gemara says it's a svek sveka. We have a double safek, right? We're not sure whether the animal came in really with... We saw the animal outside. We're not sure if he came into the house. Even if he did come into the house, maybe he ate it and he didn't leave anything left. That's a double safek. Safek, whether he came in, safek, maybe he ate it, and so on. So the Gemara basically has this shakla v'tarya throughout. This whole tudapim in Psachim, right here, from Bartes to Yudim and Beis, is basically dealing with all these questions of doubt, issues that come up. Again, you're searching for the chametz, right? You put out 10 pieces and you only found 9. Right? That's a big issue in the Gemara. Oh, you put out 9 pieces and you found 10. Right? Or you have 2 places, one which is baduk, one which is not. There's an animal, you know, one of these furry, you know, troublemakers walking around with chametz, and you saw that he went either into the house which was already checked, or the house which wasn't checked. Very fascinating Gemaras, right? Do we assume that he went into the house that wasn't checked, or not? Right, that's called tolin. Do we you know, make the presumption of where this animal is going? Gemara has some very funny lines here too about about the this little furry, you know, creature, and you know whether he knows it's Erev Pesach or not. The Chichulda Neviyah is one of the famous, because Chulda was a Neviyah, as everybody knows, and Chulda also refers to the little creatures. So it's a very fascinating Gemara, very fascinating Shacham Tarim. I want to cut in through, because again we don't have so much time, so I want to cut right through the main issues. If you look at the Gemara, the impression initially that you get on the Testament base is that the regular klalim of hakra of safek are being applied to bedikas chametz. And normally that shouldn't be a problem. We're not looking, as I always like to explain to my talmidim, it's not like we're looking for trouble, right? So if I tell you that there are dinim of, there's a safek here, there are sfekos that are being discussed, of bedikas chametz, and the Gemara is applying the regular rules, that sounds fine. That doesn't sound like there's a problem, right? Except there's a huge problem. Because you shouldn't be the Gemara should not be applying the regular rules of Hachra, Safek, Doraisa to Bedikas Chametz. Because Bedikas Chametz, as we discussed, is a Chi of Drabanan. So what should have happened was that a lot of these discussions should have just have been, you know, completely, curtailed by saying, oh, Bedikas Chametz, Sveka Drabanan, Lekula. And yet the Gemara is talking about Svek Sveka, Ein Safek Motzi Bidei Vadai. What's going on here? It comes a little bit to a head when the Gemara speaks about the famous problem of what we call kavua. Kavua means, it's not a mathematical principle, but a halakhic principle. I mean, it's despite the mathematical probability issue. Again, that's a topic in its own right. Tesha tzivurin shel matzah. Let's say you have nine places, or nine stores, let's say, right, which are, which there is matzah. The echad shel chametz, and one of which there's chametz. Right, v'asa achbar, and you have a little mouse, the shakal, and he took from one of the stores. You know he took from one of the stores. Let's say it's a whole group of stores. You saw him entering, and he comes out with something, or somebody put something. Right, v'lo yadina, and he matzah shakal. We don't know if he took a matzah. Or chametz shakal. So that's called hainu tesha chanuyos. That's the rule of nine stores. The rule of nine stores applies to kosher meat and non-kosher meat, right? Pirish, v'as achbar, v'shakal, hainu sefer d'tnan, tesha chanuyos, nine stores, kulan mokrin basar shchita, they all sell kosher meat. The achas mokeres basar nevela, one sells non-kosher meat. The lokach miachas mehen, somebody goes into that conglomeration of stores, but we don't know which one he bought from, but we know it was one of the ten, right? Nine of which are kosher and the other is not. Sveko asur. If there's some doubt, we don't know, we treat it as asur. Ubenimtsa, let's say you find the meat outside, not for the person who took it from the store, just on the street. But you know that there are ten stores, nine of which are kosher, one of which is not kosher. Right, halach achar rov. That's called the rule of kol kavua. Whenever a suffix is connected to a place which is kavua, which is stable, which is where it is, kemachta machta dami. But kol deparish, whenever you have the object you're relating to independently, right, and not from its source, from the or, it's a very fascinating concept. It's not a mathematical probability wise. You have 90%. Whether you find the single object of your focus in the street, or whether you know and you're relating to this, the question is, what is it? Where did it come from? The question of where it came from and the question of what it is, is a formal difference, right? Probability-wise, it's 90% in both cases, but the halacha doesn't always operate with probability. That's the rule of kol kavua kemach tzal machz. So what does the Gemara say here? That when it comes to bedikas chametz, and you're not sure whether or not you have to do another bedika, right, if it's kavua, right, if you had nine places which are fine, and one place which is not, or one nine possibilities of matzah and the other possibility of chametz, right, kol kavua kamachzal matzah. So the Bali Tosis ask, lefi mashapirish akuntus l'inyan bedika lo nihira l'ri hechi maisi raya miteisha chanuyos da v'sveka d'araisa v'azinu l'chomra v'hocha sveka d'rabananu k'darmina v'samuch. How can the Gemara apply rules that apply to dinim minatora, right, where the suffix is l'chumra? So they can say, oh, not only is the suffix l'chumra, even when there's 90%, but it's kavua, kol kavua, kemachzama, we treat it like a suffix ashoka, like an equal suffix. That's true for a biblical, right, doubt, but not a rabbinic one. Miyu yesh lomar, says Tosas, the ayri kigon shalobitel. We're talking about a situation where, the Gemara seems to be talking about Bedikas Chametz. Maybe it's a case where he didn't do Bitol. In which case, the Bedikas Chametz is the only thing standing between him and the prohibition of Balyira Ubalyimatze. That's Tosis' answer. The Balamor, also Alatar, says the same thing. Actually, Rashi, on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, says the same thing as well. Rashi, Balamor, Balaitosis, most Rishonim are of the opinion that all these Gemaras that seem to be problematic in that they're following the regular rules of deciding Sveikos as if this was a biblical obligation are all talking about a situation where, in fact, it is a biblical obligation, namely where there was no Bittol and the Bedikas Chametz is a biblical obligation to prevent Balyira. However, there's a small group of Rishonim that disagree, and it's a very prominent group at that. The Rambam and the Ravid, although the Ravid in two different places. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Chametz Umatzah Halacha Yud, is a little bit ironic because the Ravid is on both sides of this issue, says as follows: Siniach Tishas Tzivurim Shel Matzah, Echad Shel Chametz. Again, he at nine places which were in which there's matzah, and one which is chametz. Ba achbar, and a mouse comes, the natal, and he took from one of those places. V'lo yadanu im chametz im matzah, exactly our case. The nichnas lebayis baduk, and this animal, you know, whatever it is, has in its mouth, walked into a bayis baduk, where the bedikas chametz had already taken place. So the Ram says, tzorek libdok shekola kavua kamatzah matzah. There's an obligation to do bedikas chametz, because of the rule, even though there's a 90% probability, it doesn't make a difference, because the source of the safek is bikavua, and kol kavua kamatzah matzah. So the Rambam jumps in and says, Omer Avram, lo mechav, this is perek beis halacha yud. Lo mechav raha milsa, I don't think that's correct. El inyan bitol. If we were talking about bitol chametz, which is a din d'oraisa, then this would apply. Aval inyan bedika, sveikin drabonanu. But when it comes to bedikas chametz, which is only drabonan, and it's a suffek drabonan, we should be mekel. The Rambam says it's wrong. What is the Rambam saying? So the truth is, the irony is, that the Rambam in his hasagos al harif is the one who really articulated the basis of the Rambam. Okay. And it's inconsistent with what he writes here in Yad HaChazak. The Rambam says, the sugya is not like the Malamorn, the Bali Tosis and Rashi. It's not all talking about a case. Simple reading of the Gemara is not like that. Simple reading of the Gemara is talking about Bedikas Chametz. And the Gemara says, Abodek Tzorach Sheivatel. But the question is a very compelling question. How could, what happened to Sveikin Rabbanan Lekula? So the Rambam came up with the following explanation. The Rambam says, Shiny Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz is different. The Nitkna Ala Safek. Bedikas chametz was created to begin with in a state of doubt. In other words, the regular rule of sveika drabanan lekula applies when you have, you know, a rabbinic prohibition or obligation of some sort, right? And the question is, you know, some doubt comes extraneously. There's some question, right, about whether or not you fulfilled it, you violated it. So we have a rule, you know, drabanans are more mekil than doraisas. For various reasons, either kai gavna lo tiknu, they didn't create the obligation under these conditions, or just more lenient to begin with, or it's an isur gavra, not isur kavra. There are all sorts of explanations. And the rule is, sveika drabanan is lekula. But, says the Rambam, what's unique about bedikas chametz is that it's a rabbinic obligation that was created, right, in precisely to address the question of safek. Safek isn't an extraneous to bedikas chametz. Why are you checking for chametz in your home? Because you're not sure that it's there. So when something is nitkan ala safek, says the Rambam, if the whole takana drabanan is to eliminate the doubt, then the rule of sveika drabanan lekula no longer applies. Which is a very compelling, very compelling spot. And obviously that is the basis of the Rambam as well. However, the Rambam says, if you look carefully in the Gemara, you know, this will explain the question of nine places, you know, where there's matzah, and one, the whole question of kavua, and this might explain some other issues in the Gemara as well. However, says the Rambam, I will not go so far as to apply this rule to sfek sfek. In the case, some of the cases of the Gemara, cases where you're not sure whether the animal brought the chametz into the home, and even if he did, maybe he ate it. Or other cases of the Gemara later on, the Gemara says sfek al, sfek lo al, right, there's chametz, but you're not sure whether the, you know, the animal or the person entered into the home or not, to begin with. So the Rambam says, the din of sveika drabanan lekula will not apply in bedikas chametz, because bedikas chametz nitkan ala safek. But when it comes to svek sveika, when it comes to svek sveika lekula, that is going to apply even to the din of bedikas chametz shenitkana ala safek. However, fascinating. Yeah. Sorry?
Is there anyone that says?
Yeah, so that's what I want to get to. So the Rab David, the Chidush Rabbeinu David in Psachim, which is Rab David Bonfield, who was a student of the Ramban, quotes in the name of the his Rebbe, the Ramban, that the Ramban disagreed. That the Ramban liked the Svar of the Ravid, that Bidikas chametz is nitkana ala safek, and therefore the regular rules of sveik and rabbanu lekula do not apply. But the Ramban said, I think that basically, you have to read the Gemara very carefully. It's a machlokas, he thought it was machlokas, Rav Mari and Rava in the Gemara, and that you should apply this rule even to sveik sveika. Well, inin asuga omar Rabbeinu Nerushu, Kedivrei Haravid, Sheyafal Amadnu Shehasafek Shel Bedika LaHachmir, Mepnei Shetchilaso Al Hasafek Nitkana. Since Bedikas Chametz was created, right, precisely to address the circumstance of Safek, therefore all the Dinei Hachra are different. Ela Shehu Omer, Afka Sheyesh Shtei Sfeikos Matzrichim Bedika, She'en HaSafek Shel Emer Achalti, Amotzi Midei Chiyu Bedika, Bi'afal Pi, She'en Amotzi Ela Misafek. Says, however, the Ramban took a giant step beyond the Ravid and applied this idea, according to Rav Mari in the Gemara, even to Sfek Sveika, except the case of Safek Ol, that maybe the object didn't come in at all. But if other than Safek Ol, if you have two Sveikos in Bedikas Chametz, we're going to be Machmir, according to the Ramban, even in that. You still have to do a Bedika. She'achar Shechivu Chachamim Livdok, once the Chachamim obligated you to do Bedikas Chametz, Osin Kevadai. What they were metakein was that you need to be certain about. Now again, it can be a point beyond which, you know, ein l'davar sof, like the Mishnah says, you know, you can't become fanatical about it, you know, compulsive about it. But in terms of reasonable sfeikos, whenever there's a safek, you're vadai obligated in bedikas chametz, because that's what bedikas chametz is. V'hi svarasa shurav mari. Shehitzrich bedika behiniach eser. If you take out, if you put 10 chalos, right, to begin with, umatzateisha, right? Yeah. So there really are. There's a sex faker there. In that case, he argues. Nonetheless, you're obligated to do bedikas chametz when you can't find one of them, right? And that's based on the principle of bedikas chametz nitkana halasa.
So even according to this, you have to have some basis for.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that in a second. Exactly.
Right.
You have to get to that in a second. Aval tzarich liislamed beikar atam hazesh amar beikar divar avamori. Lama neilach achar agreira hari b'kol shtei seiko say lahaka b'kol makom. However, says Rav David Bonfield, I'm a little troubled by this, because the din of sek seika is really a din of kol Torah kula, that it's even on doraisas. So this drabanan of bedikas chametz is more chamor than doraisas? How could that be? We're going to get back to that in a minute. Even though there has to be, again, safek ol, if it's so remote, not in the number of sveikos, but in the nature of the safek, we're still going to say in the davar sof. So all is not lost, but okay. Let me take a step back. This question, once we start opening it up, we have the right. Now we have the Ramban, right? So we should ask another question. What about the din of rov? Right? Normally you have a principle that, you know, azlinu basa rov. When you have a majority, you always go by the majority. Right? Achrei Rabim, no lahatos. So what is the din of majority when it comes to Bedikas Chametz? So here, the evidence is a little mixed. It's a little bit tricky. But there's a very fascinating mixed evidence based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Dalet Omed Aleph in Psachim discusses the following question. Bo minim Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Hamas kibayis l'chaber ba'asar. A person rents out a home on the 14th day of Nisan, right? If you rent that house on the 14th, can you walk in there with the presumption that Bedikas Chametz, from a Jew obviously, that Bedikas Chametz has already been made and you're therefore not obligated to be bodek? So the Gemara says, L'may naf kemina. What kind of question is this? Right? What, you know, sounds very abstract, but not so meaningful. L'shayle. Why don't they just ask the guy who he's renting from, did you do Bedikas Chametz or not? Right? So the Gemara says, delay to the high, let's say he's not around. Right? He left instructions, he didn't mention this. La truche lahai mai. So does he have to do another Bedikas Chametz on this home or no? Now, this is a very fascinating Gemara, and the Gemara concludes that basically there is a cheskas bedbodok, and you don't have to do Bedikas Chametz. Now this is not a chazaka really. It's a rov. I mean, most people do Bedikas Chametz, you know, before on the day of the 14th, even if they're selling their home. So there's a very fascinating argument in the Rishonim, all over Shas, the beginning of Chulin and beginning of Ksuvis, all over the Shas. And that is the following question. When you have a rov, you have a majority, so Azinu Basa Rov, we usually decide by the majority, right? But let's say Ef Shalavara. Ef shalavarer tzarech lavarer, alo tzarech lavarer. Meaning, I'll give you the example in the beginning of Chulin, which is the famous one where they debate. Most people who pick up a shechita knife and start shechting animals, you know, the presumption is that they know what they're doing. They studied hilchos shechita, they're skilled for it to be a shochet. Rov mitzuyin eitzel shechita, most people who are doing shechita, mumchenheim, are experts in that. Okay? So the question is, and if you could find out, are you obligated to find out? Could you give him both on both levels? Should you be giving him a little bechina about dinei shechita, or should you watch him in advance to make sure that he's really skilled enough and knows what he's doing? Or do we just rely on the rove? A very important question. F shalavar, you could find out 100%. Should we just rely on the rove? So this is a major debate between the Rishonim. The Bala Ma'or and the Ra'ah are the opinion, no. Afil F shalavar lo tzarach lavar. You're not obligated to find out. And the majority of Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rajba, most of Rishonim say, in the F shalavar era, tzarach lavar, you shouldn't rely on rove if you can find out 100%. It's a very interesting question.
Is it a binary question, or is it cut off an effort required to the bar? So the guy's right there, you ask him, right? It's an actual bar.
Right, but do you have to? Are you obligated? No, obviously if you can't find him, you rely on the road.
Sometimes it's easy to the bar, sometimes it's hard.
Sorry?
Sometimes it's easy to the bar, sometimes it's not.
Okay, so that could be a sub-question. I mean, how much effort, if assuming that there's a din of tzarech levar, how much of an effort are you obligated to make? But let's assume for the moment that it's easy. Can you just rely on the rove, or do you have to even raise the question? Legally, you're asking, not pragmatically. You might feel better, sleep better by asking, but you could ask, no one will deny that, but are you obligated? So the Ritva, the Ra'ah, as I say, the Balamor say no. So some of the Rishonim, but interestingly, I'll explain this in a minute, not the Ramban in his piece, and point to the Gemara Mitzachin. And what's going on in Pesachim? Same thing, right? You bought a home from somebody who, you know, was there on the 14th, and he's renting it on the 14th. And the Gemara says, you know, can you assume it's baduk? The answer is yes. The Gemara originally said, "Lamai nafkamino lishayle." Why don't you just ask him, right? So it sounds like even if there's a din of rove, im efshar levarer, tzarech levarer. That Gemara would seem to be a good proof for the position of the Ramban and the Rajba against the Balamor and the Ra'ah, etc. But not all the Rishonim quote this Gemara in Pesachim. And the question is why? It's a really good proof. Right? So this is my speculation. I think that one of the reasons that they hesitated, they were reticent to quote this Gemara, is because of the issue that we're dealing with. And that is, we're dealing here with Bedikas Chametz. Right? Maybe Bedikas Chametz is different, just like the Ravid says. The din of Sveika Drabana Lekula doesn't apply, according to the Ravid and according to the Rambam. Right? The Ravid of the Rif and the Rambam. Why? Because Bedikas Chametz is the whole point of Bedikas Chametz, to make sure there's no Safek. Nitkin Allah Safek. Right? So, and according to the Ramban, quoted by David Bonfil, even in certain cases of Sveika, which in the Torah are usually Makil, when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, we're machmir, because nitkan ala safek. So it's clear in the Gemara that if you have a rove, you can rely on that for Bedikas Chametz. That part is perfectly clear. But as far as the question in efshar levarer tzarech levarer, at least maybe the din of efshar levarer is different than Chametz, because nitkan ala safek. Maybe that's the reason why only some of the Rishonim brought it as a proof, because they understood that Bedikas Chametz, right, has a bit of a different status. Yeah.
You're describing Bedikas Chametz in one fell swoop. Both the case where you're doing the initial Bedika, and the Gemara and test deals with the muck that was the Cheskas of Baduk,
right.
And now you're having an impact on its status.
Right.
Aren't those two different scenarios?
Well, not necessarily, because they are different scenarios, and that's why, for example, as I think you noted and we noted before, even the people who are going to say things like, you know, we push this to Svek Sveika, are not going to say it in all cases of Svek Sveika. I mean, there are going to be cases where we say Ein L'dover Sof, right? Where you need some sort of a foundation, you know, to begin with. So in that respect, there might be difference in some of the cases. But to the extent that we're dealing with the institution of Bedikas Chametz and how it was initially formulated and whether or not it was, you know, put into the regular matkonet, the regular recipe, you know, the regular pattern of drabanans or daraisas and what kind of dinim, as far as that is concerned, it's one issue. You might distinguish, but it's all part of this topic. Okay.
So now, it's part of the thought that says that after a bar, ain't sort of a bar.
Yeah.
Even when it's so easy, the guys right there are just asking for 2 seconds. It's almost a
you don't have to. As the Ritva says, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom said we can rely on Rav. We can rely on Rav. Most of Shalom Paskin after the Var Tzarech Rav. But according to the Ra'a, the Balamor, etc., even if he's right there... Right, so I'm just saying that even, you know, even if you say that, you might, well, but B'dikas Chametz Nitkan Al HaSafek. No. Not to the point of not relying on the Rav, but not relying on the Rav when it's Shalom Var, at least. Yeah.
That answer also fits very well with Rav's peculiar sheep on the whole first mission. Likes to quote that.
Okay. I mean, the Ran in general, you know, believes that there are cases of B'dikas Chametz which are Doraisa, obviously. I assume that's a true.
I'm talking about the Ran thinks here that if you did B'dika and you didn't do Weeple, you revive something, you're off the hook Doraisa.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I just said. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's take this one giant step further. So, firstly, we have an interesting machlokas. Why does the Raibin not think that this din of should extend to Sveka? So I think that there could be two explanations of that. One, which is a big Sveka issue, which we're not going to get into, but I'll just mention very quickly. The first is, without that, the Raibin may have said, listen, the din of Sveka Darbanu Lekula, in general, has nothing to do with the question of percentages or probability. Right? Sveka Darbanu Lekula is when you have a 50-50 chance. But since we're dealing with a drabanan, which is less chamor, or with a drabanan, which normally, let's say, was only nitkana bevadai, kaigavna tiknu, they said, oh, and there's a suffix, the chachamim didn't create this idea. That's the way some understand it. So when it's 50-50, there's no din. But to extend the idea of nitkana la suffix to svek sveka is a huge leap. Because in svek sveka, the probabilities, you know, are skewed in the other way. For the same reason that we just saw that b'dieved, certainly you could rely on a rove when it comes to b'dikas chametz. No one's going to tell you that you need a vadai for that. So the point is that svek sveka, and we'll see this in a second, may be the equivalent of rove, or maybe even stronger than a rove. The point is that just because I say that in a 50-50 suffek I don't apply the mechudash din of sveka drabon and lekula, doesn't mean that I won't apply the very logical din of svek sveka. A very good example of that is something that comes up, that's one possible perspective. Let me add a second, and that is, it's possible that svek sveka, al pidin, halachically, this is part of another topic, is just not considered a real suffek. In other words, because it takes two steps, right, to be a problem, it's not called the latest suffek. There's a lot of evidence for this idea. Again, we're not going to go into all of it right now. I'm just going to give you one example. A Tosas here on Yudam and Aleph discusses the question. We have a rule. Safek Tuma versus Hayachid is Tameh. Whenever there's a question of ritual impurity, Tuma, right, whenever you have a doubt, if it's in Rishus, if it takes place in Rishus Hayachid, that's a special rule. Safek Tuma versus Hayachid is Tameh. The question is, and this is a discussion in the Yerushalmi and the Balei Tosas all over, and what if you have a svek sveka, a double suffek brishus hayachid? So Tosas on Yudam and Aleph in Psachim here thinks that's a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. If you have some suffek, whether it's svek sveka and tuma brishus hayachid, because on the one hand the idea of suffek tuma brishus hayachid tame is a big chumrah, and already it shows that when it comes to suffek tuma we're very machmir. Just because we're very machmir and we overturn, let's say, a chazaka, does that mean we'd also overturn a svek sveka? Meaning, svek sveka isn't just about the numbers, according to many Rishonim. It's because it takes several steps to be considered a serious doubt. It's like crossing the street. I always give the example. When you cross the street, right, there's a certain percentage, nebuch, that, you know, there can be an accident. You know, in Queens, you know, we have Queens Boulevard, which is it's a terrible, terrible track record. It's really a terrible thing. But when people cross the street, right, there's no latest a suffix that something is going to happen to them. Right? In retrospect, I mean, there are things that happen, but there are things that we do in our lives in prospect where we don't, the problem is so remote, we don't relate to it. In retrospect, we relate to it. According to many Rishonim, that's the idea of svek sveka. I'll just give you one example. Gemara says in Masachet Beitza, there are many examples of this. Masachet Beitza, there's a rule called Dover. Bafyomi is the Beitza now. Yeah. Dover Shev, what are they up to? Okay, so good. So the Gemara in Gimel of Beis and Dalet Amud Aleph speaks about Dover Shev Shlomatir, which means you have something which is, let's say, you know, Asur at the moment, but if you wait it out, let's say Muktzar, Nola, if you wait it out till after Shabbos, it's going to be Mutter. Right? So the rule is, Afilu Be'elef Lo Bata. Because Mitov Shiach, the way Rashi says it, Mitov Shiach Lenu, Be'isur, Tochlenu Be'eter. Right? Just almost like our Ref Shalavar idea, meaning what do you have to rely on the row for? Just wait a few, have patience, wait a couple of hours, it'll be Mutter Lagamri Be'vadai. Tov Shiach Shalmatir, Afilu Be'elef Lo Bata. What about Dover Shiach Shalmatir and a Sfek Sfeika, a double Safek? So that's machlokas. Why? Same rules should apply. Why should you rely on a sekseka if you can get a vadai out of it? The answer is, Rajba says this in Taurus Abayis and in Beitza and Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Rajba says, because sekseka, there's no safek at all. Meaning what? Sometimes it happens. Right? If it takes two steps for something to be prohibited, right, we don't relate to it as a problem in prospect, only in retrospect. So it could be that that's the argument between the Ravid and the Ramban. Not even if you were willing to go further and say that Bedikas Chametz was, you know, Nitkana ala Safek, you know, and not just in the case of Sveikin Rabban Lekula, maybe even in Efshe Levarer, Tzarech Levarer in Ro, but would you go so far and say even Svek Sveika? Okay. And the Ramban says, yes, even that. But I'd like to take it a giant, we have to finish a couple of minutes, so let me just get back to the main point. The Rabbeinu David Bonfield, who was a student of the Ramban, went a giant step further. He wasn't happy even with the Ramban. He pushed this further. Basically, he suggests that even if there's Svek Sveika and it's about Bittul, now we're moving away from Bittika's comments for a moment. Right? Let's say he didn't do Bittul and there's some Svek Sveika. Rabbeinu David Bonfield says, even then, you are obligated to do Bedika. But we're talking about the Din D'oraisa of Svek Midat Torah. And he has the following fascinating formulation. V'nira lomar, shekachu dikter ka'inyan hazeh lamita. B'kol ha-mitzvot shebet Torah, she'omrim shesafek echad lahachmir, shtei svekos lahakel, zeh mipnei shehamitzvah alavadai. Sh'atorah shetzivsa al-chela v'aldam, al-shari surim lo tzivsa el-alavadai. Basically, he says the following. The prohibition of chametz, as reflected by the din of bedikas chametz, drabanan, but that din of bedikas chametz drabanan highlights how the chachamim saw the mitzvah of chametz doraisa, okay, is different than all other mitzvahs. All of the mitzvahs, what's asur is vadai, of chelev or dam or nosar or pigol. What are you not allowed to eat of these? Vadai pigol, vadai dam. Except that. Since we're talking about a possibility of violating a doraisa, so then the rules of the system of the halacha kick in, and they say, you know what? You're not allowed to eat vadei chelev, but you're also not allowed to risk eating vadei chelev. That's the din of sveika l'chumra, right? Ukeshen shtei sveikos, but if there are two sveikos, svek sveika, right? Then l'hakel. Avol mitzvah zu shel chametz einachen. Shelo al vadai chametz bilvad sifs a Torah. It's not just the Torah said, "Oh, vadai chametz is prohibited to be in your rishus to eat it." Shehei mevaro sokeshu lefana. Ella al habatim tziva lahashmis mem chametz. Sheat kesheina chametz lefana v'mitzvah livdok bekol makom shemachnisim chametz lahashmisa mesham alavatim. The mitzvah of chametz is to take vadai steps where there's safek chametz. Minat Torah claims, not everybody agrees with Rabbi David Bonfield. Rabbi Bonfield is a bit extreme, but it's an extreme which I think highlights a perspective. The Zevet Vur, B'mesh Omer B'halach Hazu, B'dikas Chametz Midrabanan, Dima D'Raisa B'bitul Sagi, Lomar, listen to this, Habitul Shehu Minat Torah, B'chol Mokom Sheh B'dika Midivreya. Normally we have Drabanans that are patterned after D'Raisas, right? Here Rabbi David Bonfield says, you can't understand the rules of Bitul unless you examine reconstructing backwards how the Chachamim set up Bedika. Whatever the Chachamim said you should do a Bedika Drabanan, the rules of Bittul Doraisa apply. We almost never find this kind of a formula. It's an inverted model. The Chenu Aloshen Azel Amalav Pirkin Binen Cheskas Abaduk. Ne'ata Hol VaMitzvah Min HaTorah He Al Safek Chametz Livdak Olavatlo. Chazar Asafek Hasheni Kishabalav Kamo Asafek Harishon L'Shar Mitzvah Shelo Haisa Mitzvah Al Avadai. V'Zeu Shechmiru VeBedikas Chametz B'Teisha Tziburin Afa B'Shem Shtei Sveikos. Rav David Bonfield says, one further than the Ramban. Even if the question is Doraisa, you want to know, a Svek Sveika, certain, not Safek Ol, not if it's there at all, but Svek Sveika in Bittul, as in Bedika, you have to be Machmir when it comes to Chametz. Because Chametz, Minat Torah is prohibited, even the width of Chametz is prohibited. Not just the actual Chametz, and therefore the additional Chumrah of Safek Doraisa, the Chumrah, ends up being on the Svek Sveika level rather than the Safek is already covered by the actual Isur itself. What is this and what's going on here? So let me just add two things. From the world of the Ramban, two things. The Ramban has a very famous, I'm sure I've mentioned it in other years here before, in Chulin, the base of the base, Ramban has a rule. There, the Rishonim are bothered by a certain case. Again, I mentioned before that the rules of Tumah, doubt and Tumah are special rules. Safek Tameh, Bershus HaYachid is Tameh. Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim in public domain. I'm not going to go into why now, is Tahar. So the Ramban has a certain bothered by a certain case. Trumos or Kadshim. Doesn't seem that rule always applies. Why don't we say Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim is Tahar? So the Ramban has a principle. He says whenever the Torah uses the expression Mishmeres or Shmira, Ushmartem, the rule of Safek Tumah Bershus HaRabim Tahar doesn't apply. Because when the Torah says Shmira, it means don't even get to the point where you have to rely on a Klale Hakra. Shmira means taking extra steps to make sure that you don't have a problem. The Ramban, in his Milchamos on Psachim, talks about another issue, and that is the issue of making matzah right out of the May Pelos. There's a big debate between the Rif and the Balamor and others. What's Gemara's case talking about? So without going into details, the Ramban says the Gemara can only be talking about a case where there's a potential for chametz, which means you have water mixed in with May Peros, with fruit liquid of some sort. So it could produce chametz, because we have a rule that matzah can only be produced when there's a potential danger of chametz. And the Ramban says that is because the Torah says Ushmartem es hamatzos. Right? When it comes to matzos, you have to be on guard. Right? You have to be super careful and cautious. If there's no obligation, if there's no need to be cautious because it can't turn into chametz anyway, it's not matzah. The trick of converting potential chametz into matzah is that that extra scrupulousness that you display to the, in the process, that's part of what makes matzah matzah. Very beautiful Ramban. Same idea in a way, meaning shmira means to confront and to eliminate the safek. What's the idea? The idea is that the Gemara, the Masechta, begins with Bedikas Chametz. Not just because it's the first thing, also because it's the first thing that we do. But Bedikas Chametz and all the chumras of Bedikas Chametz set a certain tone. They establish at the outset, just like there's a prohibition even having chametz in your shoes, bayirah, and just like the Isur of Achilas Chametz, even though it's something which is permissible all year, Tchiv Karetz, wow, right? Bedikas Chametz establishes right at the bat that you have to search and destroy chametz. Chametz is the antithesis, not just a matzah. Chametz is the antithesis of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's something about chametz as a noxious substance, right, which is just intolerable to the theme of Chag HaMatzos. In fact, the Torah, as we know, we've spoken about this in years past for sure, the Torah seems to speak about 8 days of eating matzah, even though in fact there is no such obligation. Certainly, according to some Rishonim, there might be a fulfillment of a mitzvah, certainly no obligation to eat matzah beyond the first Kesayis. But the Torah speaks about it as if it's a seven-day obligation. Rashi, in the end of the Pesachim, in the Perushal HaTorah, according to the Gemara, basically says, oh, this is the negation of chametz. negating chametz is part of the theme of matzah. It's part of the theme of Sefiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chazal understood, and the Radvaz says this in the Tshuva, that chametz, he calls it sor, should be isa, that became very famous, but I think a slightly different perspective, but in the same direction. Chametz represents unrestricted growth. Chametz represents an undisciplined approach to chayrus. And the whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the idea of imposing limits, not limits to, you know, to restrict us per se, but limits to give us direction, to infuse a sense of purpose. And Kedusha, what is Kedusha? It's Prisha. It's having a system of limits. Not limits that, you know, speak to our sensibilities, limits that dictate our sensibilities. That's really what, you know, Ein Ben Chorin Elamish Osek B'Torah Mitzvos is really all about. We're obviously speak about this all the time in anything that he ever said or wrote. The idea that, you know, man is a, you know, creative being, and part of his creativity is to know his limits, and he's constantly in this state of, you know, moving forward and then recoiling and pulling back, you know, and limiting based on the demands of the halacha. And that's really what chametz is all about. There's a din of shmira when it comes to chametz. And therefore, the Gemara begins, and so much effort and emphasis and detail is poured into bedikas chametz, the din d'rabbanan, because this din d'rabbanan, even if you don't accept the chumras of the Ravid and the Rambam, and the Ramban, Rav David Bonfield, many times, most Rishonim do not. I'm highlighting them because the theme that they accentuate is still a correct theme, even without some of these more extreme applications. The theme is the idea of bedikas chametz, not to rely, but to be particularly zealous when it comes to this particular aspect of chametz, sor shebi isa, midas hadin, whatever the actual theme is. But it's important that it not just happen, you know, we not just fall into it, but we be, you know, active, proactive, that we, you know, basically ensure that our homes are a bayis baduk. Part of what Rav David Bonfield explains here is taking initiative to turn your house into a bayis baduk, a place where there's vaday no chametz, is the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. According to him, not only the mitzvah drabanan, but reflecting on the mitzvah d'oraisa as well. And if that's the case, we couldn't imagine a better beginning of Masechet Pesachim, not only for the sequence and the chronology, but for this message as well. Bedikas chametz really captures the perspective on chametz and the spiritual ambition of Chag HaMatzos, and like Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, like the Iser Kares, everything that the second answer of Tosas reflects, it really highlights the uniqueness of this holiday. So I want to wish you all a Chag Kasher Sameach, and good luck on the Bedikah. Again, we don't pask in like, you know, the Ravid and others, but there's still a lot to do and a lot to be careful about. And we should all benefit from the, you know, important themes of the holiday. And Zechut Tzias Mitzrayim. So Chag Kasher Sameach.
Do we know what the Ramban says by Parish, you don't have to do it? Or I thought of David Bonko was trying to explain the Ramban, why the Ramban says that you have to do Bitul.
No, the Ramban doesn't say it about Bitul. The Ramban says about Bedikah.